We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
There isn't a whole lot of it. So there are a lot of sort of off-brand guys who are suddenly getting people to notice. I mean, I think Myles Garrett, you know, is, you know, he's a guy in the fairway. I mean, there's not a lot of betting value there. There's betting value in Warner, though. I don't know that he can do that because linebackers tend not to unless they're guys who really rush the passer. And he's not that. But even if he's not, even if he's no better than 25-1, I don't know that the 49ers would trade him for more than maybe two defensive players in the league.
And they'd have to be superstars.
They'd have to be guys who are a lot shorter odds on that list.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing about that list is it's not
a bunch of people you don't expect infiltrating it.
It's the best defensive players in the league who we already know about and Fred Warner.
Right.
I mean, to me, that is an announcement of Fred Warner as a legit top defensive player in the league. Look at the names you just read off. I mean, those are the best.
It's like, who's your favorite guitar player? Well, I like Hendrix. I like Clapton. There's this guy named Trey that I really like. And, oh, by the way, I saw this dude in a dive bar 3 weeks ago, and you just got to trust me. He is one of the greatest guitar players living today. And that's where Fred Warner's kind of come from. I mean, he was an unheralded, non-hyped BYU draft pick that the 49ers just plucked and played and have gotten so much return from. He's got 210 solo tackles in 39 games. I mean, that's a big number. 210 solo tackles in 39 games. His combined tackles for 39 games is 299 combined tackles. The guy's just in the middle of everything. I mean, I'm not a math major, Matt, but that's about 10 tackles per game in a career to start it. He's played 40 games, by the way. Well, his next game will be his 40th. Pardon me.
He really, I keep saying this, but, you know, he's tall and lanky and not what you picture when you picture a middle linebacker. You know, I picture Singletary or Urlacher or Ray Lewis or Patrick Willis even. And the way he does it is almost more impressive to me because it seems to involve so much intelligence and understanding and not to mention preparation. Like, I love watching him play.
Yeah, he'll do.
But
here's the best thing about him is that he's hard to replace. And I don't mean by the 49ers. But let's say, you know, if every team had a Fred Warner and you lost your Fred Warner, you couldn't go out in the market and get another one because nobody else is letting guys like that go. I mean, it's hard to find guys who are sort of that smart on the fly and that technically accomplished. Because he's not going to build up enormous numbers to win Defensive Player of the Year. But without him, your defense is dumber. And dumb defenses get torn up in this season.
One of the things that Tony Romo mentioned was that he is so cerebral. He follows the play so well. He takes himself out of situation to clean up some of the garbage that other guys pad their stats with a little bit. And because he's so on assignment, he is not making some tackles that you would expect a middle linebacker to come and have to clean up because he's where he's supposed to be schematically. He's leaving statistics on the field because he's such a good cover that they put him out in pass coverage as much as they ask him to stop the run.
Yeah, there, I mean, there's essentially there's one guy in the league who grades out better than he does right now, and that's Miles Jack. He grades out better than every other linebacker in football. And again, if you took him off the 49ers, 49ers would not be nearly as smart a defense.
And that seems to me to be particularly important in a year where you have so many defensive injuries. This Niners defense could not be holding the line as well as it has without being really smart, because they don't have the talent they had last year. Not even close.
You talk about grading out. We got some grades to go over here. It's like almost we're almost at our midterm exam. So it's a good time to take a look and see where the Niners are stacking up, not just in their own division, their own conference, but against all NFL competition. We understand that they have been playing some of the lesser teams out there so far. The Jets, the Giants, and who would have thunk the New England Patriots are now among the less than in the National Football League. At least they certainly were last week when the Niners dusted their shoes with them. But the Niners also are playing with 20 bodies on the IR so far in half a football season, less than half a football season. So however soft their schedule might have been, they have been so bitten by the injury bug, I think that we can kind of evaluate a little bit where they are based on we know how tough it's been, because they're playing bad teams with backups. But even some of the numbers that good teams have to put up are being maintained by the 49ers. Can they maintain this production as the quality of competition is about to go way, way up, especially over the next few weeks when you're looking at the number one and the number two scoring offenses in all of football? You're going to take points to catch up with that, or a defense to slow it down. You're either going to match points or mute points. How the Niners go about it is going to be one of the things we talk to Peter King about. We've got a great show for you this afternoon. Game 6 of the World Series is tonight. Snell versus Gonsolin. And if the Dodgers win, they are the champs. If the Rays win, we get a Game 7. So to make sure that that happens, we are going to bring in the world's most foremost and renowned Tampa Bay Rays fan in the world. Dick Vitale is joining us coming up next, and we're also going to talk a little basketball with him, of course, now that we've put a bow on the bubble, and we've got an NBA draft coming up in just a little bit. Wiseman Top and the kids that he's seen in college. We'll get into it with Dickie V, who's around the corner here on 95.7 The Game. Peter King live at 3 o'clock in a Tuesday trifecta where we will have a candy draft, the Halloween candy draft. I don't want to say it's the most demand of the entire year, but you almost need to call in now to get in line. No, well, maybe not now. It'd be about 3.5 hours too early. But you are going to want to call in early, because we are going to have that Halloween candy draft. I mean, we will ask the questions that other shows are afraid. Will the whatchamacallit fall out of the top 10, which would be a tragedy? Will we see just a Hershey's bar go undrafted? Wow. I don't think we've had just a straight-up chocolate Hershey's bar drafted in every year. That's a pillar of candy just falling out of the draft. Will it be back this year? Where's Starburst going? Where are Skittles going? We will find.
Will Charleston Chew make an appearance?
Oh, I love the Charleston Chew.
As do I.
I love the frozen Charleston Chew.
Oh yeah,
good crunchy times. Mm. Gonna need a dentist. These are good times. All right, so let's get ready to roll. We've got Dick Vitale just talking a little baseball and basketball. One of the most likable people in the world of sports is going to join us next, and that's how we're getting underway this afternoon. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game, and we are brought to you by Amazon Workforce.
The Rays, baby, the Rays! Yes, sir! Yes, sir! Make the Yankees! Take that $220 million payroll! Come on, baby! Let's go, Rays! Let's go, Rays! Let's go, Rays!
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
We continue with one of the most recognizable voices in all of sports, and not only is he a member of the Basketball Hall of Fame, he should be put in the Rays Hall of Fame, because he is the world's biggest Tampa Bay Ray fan, and tonight they play for their World Series life. Welcome to Damon Ratto and Kolsky, and welcome to the one and only Dick Vitale joining us here on a night where his team tries to keep it going. Dickie V, thank you for joining us, sir.
Oh, no problem, Damon, but I thought you would have come back and said, he's the only fan they have. I mean, we were getting 9,000, 8,000 fans last year. The team that won 96 games. I think that's so sad because they've given us such quality baseball. I've been a season ticket holder for 21 years. Cost me a lot of cash, man. My buddy and I were looking and thinking about it recently. We said, you know what? We spent a lot of money. I don't know what it's like, 25, 30,000 for four tickets per year. You multiply that 21 years. That's a lot of cash.
That's an investment.
You know, I'm a baseball fanatic.
At least you can swing it, Dickie. No doubt about that. But I tell you, it's amazing that this team, because of their low profile and because of where they live in their own division and because of what they spend, they're always cast as the underdog. The only team in baseball that won more games than them was the Los Angeles Dodgers. They were only three games off the Dodgers' pace. This really is the World Series that this baseball season deserved.
Yeah, it really is. You know, you got the best in the American League, you got the best in the National League. You got a team that won 96 games. I try to tell people, it's no fluke. I said it before the year. I remember, I don't know, I might have been a Mike McKay. I'm not sure. New York, somebody interviewed me, and I said, I don't want to hear about, you know, they got Cole, they got this guy. But big deal. They got all those guys. When it's all said and done, the Rays are going to be better than they are. And sure enough, they made me look good because they won 96 last year, and this team is so much better. It's unreal. But the bottom line is the executives do a tremendous job of evaluating. Take a look at Randy Arozarena. How the heck do you feel if you're the Cardinals, you throw him in a deal? They were after a guy named Martinez who hit like 300 for the last couple of years with the Cardinals. They got Martinez, and we gave up a really good pitcher. We gave him one of our top pitchers in the minor leagues, Libertor. We give him up, but they weren't satisfied. They were saying, wait a minute, we got to get more than that. And they throw in the guy, Arozarena. He's going to be a superstar. He's no one-time fluke. Now, he's not going to hit like this, these numbers that he's posted now. But I would bet if he's healthy, he's a solid 280 hitter, 30 home runs, about 90 RBIs, and plays some good, tough defense, and he runs the bases. I really feel that. His bat swing, his contact is unbelievable.
You've described the one Ray who isn't a three outcomes guy. Most of this team, not just in the postseason, but for the last couple of years, has been the quintessential walk, strikeout, home run team. Has that been frustrating at all to watch in this series where, you know, if you don't get that home run, your offense is going to struggle?
Yeah, there's no doubt our offense has struggled. We aren't getting any production out of Willie Adames. We're not getting any offensive production out of Meadows. I mean, these are guys that got to come through for us, and they have not come through, putting so much pressure on the one young kid who certainly has hit really well. And it puts such incredible pressure on the pitching staff. I mean, you're going out there, you know you can't give up any kind of runs. I mean, it was a disaster the other night, the game they lost, when it's the fourth inning, first and third, nobody out. I'm out of my seat, man. I'm screaming, yelling. The neighbors probably heard me all over. I feel great about it. We got Kershaw a little bit on the rocks here. First and third, and we can't score. Oh, my God, that just crushed me. I don't know what's happened to the butt. You know, why not the safety squeeze? Just get the ball down, and you got to run, and you're a tie game, and now the whole thinking process changes. But that's a good question there, Ray. I definitely, offense has been a dilemma, and we got to expect that. We don't have those big-time, you know, bruises that these teams go out and buy and get, and we try to manufacture runs and rely on our pitching.
So as long as you've had season tickets, you've seen just about every Tampa Bay Rays team, and you mentioned this team, in your mind, is a lot better than last year. Do you think this is the best Rays team we've ever seen?
You know, 2008 was very good, too, with Crawford, Longoria, when Longoria was in his prime, not like right now. But the bottom line is that team was special, really, as well. And, you know, we had some great pitchers, that Garza, and trying to remember now, Shields. You know, when you're 81 years old, you're trying to test me now. 12 years ago, I have a tough time remembering what I did 12 minutes ago. But the bottom line is, though, the 2008 was very good. But this team is certainly right there. You know what's the great thing about Kevin Cash? He, as opposed to many coaches, whether it be in college basketball, whether it be in Major League Baseball, they're afraid to use their bench. They get these guys, you sign guys to scholarships at these big universities, and they sit in a pine as the 12th guy in the basketball who never get off. And that's ridiculous. I mean, if you give a kid a scholarship, get him a couple of minutes out there. How is it going to hurt you? And that's what he does. He uses that entire roster. I mean, you don't know. I never know who's going to be in the starting lineup. I don't know what the batting order is going to be. But all I know is we win a lot of games.
And Dick Vitale.
He communicated with the players. The players love him, and he does a great job. And that's, I'll tell you, I will go nuts if they go to that split season nonsense and go to Montreal half the season and half the season here, because then I'm out. I'm totally out. I will not buy another ticket because there's no way I'm wearing one hat Montreal, one Tampa Bay. I'm hoping and praying that maybe this kind of success will spark the corporate people in Tampa to come out and buy some tickets. I don't blame the Rays, you know, exploring some ideas, because the bottom line is you can't have 9,000 and 8,000 in a major league ballpark.
Hey, there was a rumor, Dickie V, that the Giants were going to move to Tampa Bay all those years ago. Obviously,
yeah, it
didn't happen.
I would have liked that.
Well, we would have hated it, and I can tell you this, that there's no town in America rooting more for Tampa Bay than right here in San Francisco, where you're not going to find any Dodgers fans. So sure. Go Rays, go. Our whole audience is rooting for your team tonight. We'd love to see this shortest baseball season ever at least give us 7 games of a World Series, and with a Tampa Bay win, that will indeed happen. Dick Vitale here on 95.7 The Game. We got to ask you a basketball question. The draft is only 22 days away, and, you know, I who knows what the Warriors are going to do number 2 overall. I would like to just ask you about Obi Toppin, though, because I think that that's a player that we saw a lot of his senior year, and I also think he's a player whose reputation stood the most to gain with an NCAA tournament run. He was on a good team with a good seed, and Obi Toppin could have been a household name, but because we had no tournament, a lot of people still don't know who he is. James Wiseman, we've been talking about the ball guy and you know, LaMelo Ball, but what do you think of Obi Toppin? Not necessarily just for the Warriors, but what do you think of him?
He's explosive. He came on. He got better and better throughout his career. Some people say, well, he's 22 or so. 22 is a big deal. How old is 22, 23? Give me a break. The bottom line is the kid's got great explosiveness, tremendous kid. They loved him on the campus. The coaches loved him. And I think he's got a great upside. I think that he can absolutely fit in. I just think when you look at their roster, though, they need some post play better. And I think that they can get a guy like Wiseman. I think he's worth the shot. I really do. In fact, I mean, there are rumors they may trade him. I don't think many teams know right now what they're going to do, because it's going to be just a weird kind of draft. It's a draft that you can get a guy. Some guys are projecting popping down to 7, 8, 9. I mean, you get him at number 2. I mean, the bottom line is you can get a good player, the same kind of player, maybe at 8 or 9. You're going to get a 2 or 3. There's no player out there other than Anthony Edwards, the first player taken, and he's not really ready at this point, but he's going to be special. He's got things you cannot teach. His explosiveness is unbelievable. Upside is incredible. And as a young kid, I think he's maybe just turned 19. And I really believe that he's going to be special, but it's going to take time. And right now, Golden State, they're not in a position taking time. They want to win now. They're going to win now. And they really got the possibility of having another great year if they got a healthy Curry and a healthy Thompson. You got Green. You got now the kid Wiggins there. If Wiggins could blend in and fit in, they got a lot of potential. They may trade that and get a post player. Who knows? Hey, let me say this, though, getting back to baseball. Well, you know, you mentioned basketball. You must read my book, because in my book, I got a new book out, The Lost Season, and it's all about not having March Madness and about the fact that a guy like Toppin and teams like San Diego State, teams out there like Dayton, could have made some big noise. So please do me one favor. Tell people they can get my book at DickVitale.com, and every dollar that I would make is going for kids battling cancer. They get autographed copies at DickVitale.com. It's called The Lost Season. And I'm telling you this, take this to the bank. Take it to the bank, Mr. Ratto. You write this. Take it to the bank. I'm telling you, if we win Game 6, we're going to win the world championship, because Charlie Morton will not be beaten in Game 7.
Yeah,
when he was at Houston, he wasn't beaten here when we had to beat the Astros. I'm telling you now, if we could get to Game 7, they thought we were going to be eliminated by the Yankees in 5 with their great $300 million pitcher. We said no to that. They thought we'd get beat by the Astros after they won three in a row, and everybody talked about momentum and talked about the Rays had done. I mean, I heard that from so many people. Oh, really? The Yankees and the Astros are watching on TV. If we get to Game 7, tell those Dodger fans and Mr. Roberts, the party's over.
That's a prediction, baby. Dickie V, every time we hear your voice, we smile, man. You're infectious. Love of sports. It's the real deal. Thank you for joining us. And go Rays tonight. I hope you win the whole thing.
81, right? Some guy really ticked me off today. Oh, my God, I got ticked off. I did a Twitter thing. He called me old man. I said, come on, man. I don't want you to old man nonsense. That's rude. That's insulting. And I match my energy with you or anybody else 25 years old. Come on, man. Give me a break. 81 years old. So I'm 81. I don't feel it. Until I look in the mirror, then I know it's real.
he's like a VW. He just keeps on going and going and going. 81 doesn't matter. Plug him just right in. He's an energy source. Dick Vitale here on 95.7 The Game.
Thanks a lot, guys. Call me anytime.
Thank you so much, Dick Vitale. That's great. The guy loves the Rays. There aren't a lot of people who go to take an at-bat for the Tampa Bay Rays unless you're an actual Tampa Bay Ray, but he is.
I mean, truly, can you name another Rays fan?
No. No. It's the lone celebrity fan. I can name more celebrity Clippers fans.
I can name more Royals fans.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it's
so many baseball teams have, like, the couple of celebrity fans. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Rays, he's it.
Well,
he's
Paul Rudd,
the guy.
Isn't Paul Rudd like the big to-do Royals fan? Isn't he from Kansas City?
I believe so. And Chiefs, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. I know he's a Chiefs fan, too. Yeah, he's a Kansas City guy. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, like the you just know guys. You know guys for most teams. But, yeah, Dickie V is the guy for the Rays. And he's not kidding. I mean, I wonder how many people literally have held Rays season tickets over that period of time. Besides Dick Vitale and his buddy.
21 years. It's an easy walk-up day of game ticket. It's not like you need season tickets.
Nobody needs it, right? I wonder if there's a single other person who's had Rays season tickets for 21 straight years.
It's a great question.
I mean, there have to have been some.
Maybe, but it's got to be like, it can't be more than a few hundred, could it, Ray? For 21 years.
I'd be willing to bet it's probably somewhere in the 4,000 to 5,000 range.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, they're announcing 11 on nights when they get six.
Right.
So I've got to think that they're counting some season ticket holders. I mean, it's
makes sense.
I'd say there's 4,000 to 5,000.
But even
the problem
if that's
is
true,
nobody grew up in Tampa Bay without leaving.
Right.
Tampa Bay is a place you go to when you're sort of at a fixed income, and baseball season tickets aren't part of it.
Uh-uh.
And really, up until the last 4 years and that one little blip at the end of the aughts, Tampa's been bad.
Yeah, they're bad.
And they've been cheap and bad, and there's nothing that says, don't come watch me, worse than, we don't care about our team, why should you?
They're cheap, bad, their ballpark sucks. And you know what's really tough, too? It's not just that their ballpark sucks, but their ballpark is a ballpark that sucks, that is very difficult to reach. It's nowhere near Tampa Bay. It's in St. Petersburg. To get to St. Petersburg, you either have to go across a really long, windy bridge, or you got to drive down the peninsula, the little dangle that is St. Pete's.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's a schlep. They did what the Cleveland Cavaliers did in the 70s. And decided that putting something out in the suburbs where land is cheaper is the best way to make money. And you find out, no, the harder you make it for people to get to, the easier they will come up with excuses not to get there.
Yeah. It's just funny. Like, if 4,000 to 5,000, I mean, that's a number that well over that number of Packers season tickets have been handed down through, like, three generations.
Right. 16 with 8 home games a year, there is a guy in Green Bay, Wisconsin, who has been to more than 500 consecutive, uninterrupted Green Bay Packers games. I wonder if anyone but Dick Vitale has actually been to the Trop 500 times.
Serious. Oh, man.
Maybe this guy I know named Stuart Sternberg, who owns the team.
Maybe.
You know, though, yeah. There's no way. Because I can prove to you that guy has not gone very often. Because there's no way a billionaire would be comfortable sitting there. The only reason why I can tell you John Fisher definitely owns the A's is because he never goes to an A's game. He's never in that ballpark. If he was, he'd do something about it. Like, I can prove you ain't here by the fact that we're here, you know?
Well, yeah, I don't know that they're comparable, and I also don't know how many times Stuart Sternberg's been to his ballpark, but I know it's been more than John Fisher has.
Probably. Well, that's not hard to do.
You can't go less
No,
than
that's John. What I'm saying. John Fisher is an amazingly low bar to clear. In fact, you have to dig a ditch, drop the bar in it, and then just walk over the ditch to clear it.
You don't even have to walk over the ditch. You walk right through the ditch. You still clear the bar. That's the beauty of putting the bar at the bottom of a ditch, right? Anyway, well, Dick Vitale,
great Rays
fan. It
just seems
like way
too much exercise to me.
I love it. I love Vitale. What could be more Dickie V than finding a way to get excited about the Tampa Bay Rays? I mean, it's very on brand.
And by the way, what's amazing about him just shows you that this is a network broadcaster through and through and through and through. He had 15 minutes for us. Because I'm sure he has another radio hit somewhere else in America to go talk about Tampa Bay, because he is the only Tampa Bay Rays fan that every producer in the world was like, should we get anyone to talk about him? Should we get a beat writer? No one knows who the beat writers are.
Could be our last day to have a Rays person on. Who's the Rays person?
Yeah, that's Dick Vitale.
Exactly. Well, and so his phone is ringing off the hook. He's got a book to sell. He's got a charity to maintain. But he gave us 15 minutes to the point where he talked up to the last tick of the second. He got his book plug in there. He used every single moment that he had for us and then ended it like it was just a natural ending. He is already doing his next interview right now, that guy.
Well, but in fairness, the only other guy that you'd want to get is the guy who covers the team for the paper there, a guy named Mark Topkin, who's been covering that team for forever. But he's been working at the ballpark since about 10:30 this morning.
That's
so
a
he's
good transition.
Never available for stuff like that. So Dick Vitale is the guy. He should be paid as though he were the PR guy.
He's like Drake
for the Toronto Raptors.
Well, except that he stays with one team. Two, if you count Duke.
Drake cheats a little, but so does Dick.
He cheats
a lot.
He can
get excited about other stuff, but Drake's always there. He's an official Raptors ambassador. Anyway,
I'll say this. You're the only person in America who's ever said Dick Vitale is like Drake.
Yeah, that's a first, and I feel good about it. I also feel good about KD not giving a damn about no damn Drake night. The Obi Toppin thing, I'm glad you had. That was the other question I had written down for Dick Vitale, was like, we're hearing this Obi Toppin thing, compare and contrast with James Wiseman, and I like the way he did it, not just because I agree with him, but Obi Toppin has a lot to like about him, and you can understand why the Warriors continue to say, you know, sort of we're up for anything here, so maybe you want to make us a trade in case we take your guy. But I agree with him that Wiseman, who has been the number one player in this class, you know, basically for as long as anyone has paid attention to this class, right up until they stop playing basketball, it's just too good a fit not to do it if you do keep the pick. That's my sense of it, and that seems to me sort of be what Dick said.
Well, and I think that's what pretty much everybody thinks. You know, if they keep the pick, he's the logical choice. If you move down, you know, you're not going to move up to get Wiseman because you could probably get him anyway because you know Minnesota's not going to take him unless they trade down and somebody else who needs a big guy moves into the one spot. And that's pretty unlikely because I think Minnesota's going to find out that Anthony Edwards is what they're getting and that's the deal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if the Warriors keep the pick, I have yet to see anybody suggest anybody other than him. I mean, there are a couple of mock drafts that played around with the idea that, well, maybe they'd want Edwards, but one, Edwards isn't going to be there, and two, he doesn't fit them.
And but today we had a report that they would consider Obi Toppin there, so that's sort of what I'm responding to.
Right. And
well,
it might,
okay.
Look,
no,
it
which I get, but I just don't believe that. I mean, it's international lying season.
Right.
I don't think you pick Toppin at two. If you like Toppin, you can go down to 5 or 6 and get him.
Chad Ford's Big Board podcast, he was talking with John Hollinger, and they said, you know, Toppin, they called him a fit for what the Warriors are looking for, which Dick Vitale said is a guy who can show up, contribute day one. Toppin is not a project. A lot of people are saying he's already reached his potential, so there's not that much to build off of. I don't know if I agree with that or not, but he's a 22-year-old guy who's a three-level scorer. And look, I'll just say this, because I am on Wiseman too, but I do really like Obi Toppin. And the thing that's got me wavering between the two is simply this. If we're playing basketball in 2010, there's just no doubt in my mind that Wiseman is definitely 100% the pick. There's nothing to talk about because we're still using centers and basketball is being played a little bit differently than it is right now. Like, just having watched the bubble and looking at the Warriors' need and how they play and how they try to run teams off, I look at it like DeAndre Ayton was the right pick for the Suns at number one a few years ago. But in this year, it absolutely should have been Luka Doncic. And I'm not saying Toppin is Doncic. I'm not even close. But I just think that basketball is being played in a way that is more Toppin-like than Wiseman-like. Unless the Warriors are going to play the yin-yang, let me bring it back for you, let me zig while everyone else is zagging. Unless they're going to go, we have bigs to meet in Jokic and Davis, and we need a big ourselves, and we know that they're talking about getting bigger. Look, it's probably Wiseman. But I think Toppin's reputation had a leap and bound to grow with a tournament that he didn't get.
I think you're right in a sense, but I think also, you know, there's a difference between broad reputation and appeal to the Warriors, because I expect that tournament also would have shown a player who doesn't show a ton of interest in defense, which is, you know, sort of one of the knocks on Toppin. And that doesn't mean, like, everything about him seems good. I imagine they can convince him to play some defense, but generally speaking, that's not a guy who's going to become elite on that end of the floor, right? So, you know, in a lot of ways, and I mean all due respect to everybody when I make these two comparisons, but I kind of see Wiseman as a poor man's Anthony Davis, if we're talking about why do it today in 2020. And I think in many ways, Toppin kind of looks to me like a rich man's Eric Paschal. And that's not an insult. Because if Eric Paschal was a little taller and a little bit better shooter, he'd be a hell of an NBA player. And I think Toppin has a chance to be a really good NBA player. But I also think he's a thing you can find. Maybe not quite as good, but I mean, how much better will he be than Kyle Kuzma, who at times can be an awesome scorer and certainly isn't as polished as Obi Toppin? Like, it's not a perfect comparison, but a long sort of 3-4 stretch who can score but isn't the best defender. I actually think in some ways there's less place for that than a true 7-footer who's a great athlete and plays a ton of defense and might be able to at least move around well offensively.
All I can say is that if Wiseman hits like 4 threes in a row when the Warriors worked him out, he's going.
Boom. He's going. No question.
They're taking him. If he can shoot it just a little bit, he's the guy. What's really funny is that they said that if Minnesota drafts on or passes on LaMelo Ball, that LaMelo Ball is the clear choice for the Warriors. I refuse to agree with that. I don't care who they did. Steve Kerr can come on and tell me that they really like LaMelo Ball at number two. I don't think I'd believe him. It feels like redundant. It feels like you're asking one of the least invited house guests into your house night after night, and LeVar, who's just a pain in the ass, even for the – I mean, like, if you don't tell me that the Warriors control him. The Lakers couldn't control LeVar Ball. So I just – maybe I'm holding the sins of the father against the son. I don't think he is part of the Warriors' plans. I really don't. I think that is a big smokescreen. We got to take a real fast break, though. When we come on back, a little more on this. What do you know? We had the talking a little basketball segment. That was fun. Let's do a little bit more of it when we come on back. We've also got to talk about how consistency in football is indeed the hardest thing to find. And boy, there is one team out there that has absolutely found it. And that'll lead us to Peter King, who is going to be our guest at 3 o'clock, which is going to turn this into a commercial-free, about 45-minute segment when we come back. And it'll be glorious, and it'll be served up piping hot and fresh right for you. We are brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. And now we're temperature checking, baby, with the Exergen temperature check. It is 75 and sunny over in Oakland.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
It's good to have you here. It's great to have you here today. No matter how you got here, thank you. Welcome. And let me tell you that you're going to want to stick around because Peter King joins us at the top of the hour at 3 o'clock. An audience with the King. We're looking forward to it. You know, guys, I don't like change. Not it's partly why I'm a Cubs fan, and it's partly why I think I'm a little less in love with Wrigley Field now than I ever have been because they changed it. They put in boards that don't belong there, and instead of stepping back in time and being one of the rare time machines you get on planet Earth, it looks more modern than it should. I don't like my modern Wrigley Field. I detest it, as a matter of fact. It hurts my heart a little. And that brings me to some change that's happening here in San Francisco. And I don't usually get nostalgic for billboard advertising, but in this case, one of the iconic billboards, after an 83-year run, the electronic Coca-Cola billboard south of Market that you see when you're hopping on the Bay Bridge is going to be taken down. The Enjoy Coca-Cola billboard was erected in 1937. It's moved a little bit. It's been reconfigured a little bit, but it's been a staple right around there, like I said, for the better part of 80 years. Why now? Why? Come on. We can't have anything nice in 2020. I'm missing my Coke billboard.
Why can't the city protect it? Isn't this like a historical landmark at this point?
I thought it was like a 50-year threshold, and if you crossed it, you had a chance to be registered, but I don't think it qualifies for a national historic landmark or anything like that, unfortunately. So I guess not.
It feels like one, doesn't it?
I don't know if it does or not. That's the problem is how do you make an ad sort of a national preservation site?
But it is
because
part
without
of the,
without the Coca-Cola, it's all it is there's nothing spectacular about it. The value is the fact that it's been there since our parents were driving toward that bridge.
Nostalgia.
I don't know how they do it because I think the same thing happened in Portland with there's a big neon sign just across the Willamette River. And it used to be owned by a sporting goods company named White Stag. And rather than just tear it down, White Stag sold it to the city, and it was basically a leaping reindeer through the map of Oregon. And so Oregon bought the sign. They changed it from White Stag. They kept the reindeer and just said, "Welcome to Portland." And ultimately, they found that was too expensive, and now I think that's coming down too. But, I think the city would have to buy the sign from Coca-Cola and then figure out a reason for a fizzy drink to represent their city.
Well, it's a shame because it's part of the skyline from a certain direction. I don't know.
I get what you're saying. But it's just an awkward transition to.
It is,
Because there will be people going, "We're a great civic institution. Right. Why are we promoting a fizzy drink?" Well, that's what people will remember it as.
It has sugar.
It's an iconic part of the horizon line,
right,
of San Francisco. It really is. And I liked its scaffolding. It looked like the thing belonged at, right outside of Old Wrigley or Fenway Park. There was a throwback to it. And let's be honest, the Coca-Cola image, the wave, the font of Coca-Cola is probably, if we had to double for the American flag and we use the Coke sign, it wouldn't offend that many people. Like, it is part of an American, it's part of our iconography. It's one of the most recognizable brands on the planet, on the entire planet. Like, it's the Yankees hat, it's the Coke thing, and it's the Nike swoosh. If Oregon said we're keeping the swoosh up because it's part of who we are, I totally get it. Now, I know that, Coke is based in Atlanta and not out here, but it was charming. It was nostalgic. I liked it. We have a Coca-Cola sign insider, though, on hold. Let's say hello to Cadillac in Oakland, who apparently knows what's what. Cadillac, thank you very much. What information do you have for us about the electric Coca-Cola sign coming down after its 83-year run?
So about 6-7 years ago, stuck in traffic going through that area, had my son in the car, and I did some research on it. So apparently the light bulbs that they have on the sign, they don't create anymore. So the stock that they have is more than likely run out over the years. Huh. So my speculation is that's when it's coming out, coming down, because they can't replace the lights, and it'll just be an eyesore as they continuously go out.
The story that I read today is that the sign was refurbished in 2010, a decade ago, because what you're saying was true, and they put in a whole bunch of energy-saving LED lights. So even though they kept it that old-timey look, I think they updated the technology in the sign. So I'm not sure if that's it. It was a problem at the time. You are right about that, Cadillac. There was an issue with they don't even make the bulbs anymore to put in these things. But they changed the whole electronics in the sign. I just thank you very much for the call. You had it. You had part of it. But they fixed that. I don't know. Maybe we can start a petition. I know the world's got bigger problems. I don't even drink Coke very often. I really don't. I'm not a soda guy. You never seen me drink a soda. I've never seen either of you drink a soda.
You've just seen me drink a ridiculous number of seltzers.
You crush seltzers like Ratto crushes Snapples.
Used to.
You're off Snapple?
You can't find that flavor anymore. Snapple decided
But wasn't it peach?
No, it was lemon, which is really hard to find, I know.
You'd think that lemon iced tea options wouldn't be hard to find.
Yeah, but the only other option I found, the only other options I found are ridiculously more sweet, and I don't want that.
Yeah, I don't
want that too sweet. So other than wine, what are you drinking over there?
Right now I'm drinking orange and lemon sodas.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Like the San Pellegrinos, those are good.
Yeah.
Those are really good.
That's what they are.
The orange chata. I love those. All right. Well, pour a little out for the Coca-Cola sign. Pour a little out. I don't like change. I fear change. And that apparently is changing. How about this is changing? Allegiant Stadium, gentlemen, is going to have its first fans.
Oh.
The state says that UNLV, which is going to also call Allegiant Stadium its new home, UNLV will be allowed 3% capacity. About 2,000 fans will be allowed in as the Rebels take on the Nevada Wolfpack, their big in-state rival, on Saturday. This is going to be the first fans allowed in Allegiant Stadium since they opened the place. And honestly, 2,000, as big as that place looks, you can pull that off safely. I really think you can pull that off safely. No problem. I wish them well. They're probably not going to open up every concourse food stand, so pack a lunch.
It's 10 people per section.
Yeah. What's the purpose of that?
I think it's just to let your big-time money-donating alumni in. That's what that is.
Yeah.
If you're a UNLV booster, come on down.
Actually, it's more than that. It's that, Reno had to chunk up its share of the money here to make this happen, too, because this was a statewide gift, and the state capital's in Carson City, which is right near Reno. So I'm guessing this is a thank you to politicians, because they brought $750 million.
So when you say Reno, you mean the capital?
Reno and the Pauls who live around there, yeah.
Right. Okay.
So this is basically their way of saying, see, this is what your $750 got you.
Who are they playing?
It's Reno.
It's UNR
in Vegas.
So you did, but so did you mean just like Reno as in politicians or Reno as in the school?
Reno is in the school as in the Pauls, because Reno's got some throw weight in that state. You wouldn't know it, but
hey,
Vegas is like its own little country. It's like Monaco, only with no water
and more hookers.
But Reno has the proximity to the capital that, frankly, I mean, that's the weirdness of the Nevada state political culture.
That's not just
because it probably doesn't happen if you don't get buy, well, I know it doesn't happen if you don't get buy-in from state politicians, because Clark County did not have that kind of jack.
Interesting. Politics. I hear it's going to be in play a week from today. What is voting day, is election day. So I was reading that if you were lazy and thinking about mailing in your ballot, please drive it to an actual place to drop it off, because you've already kind of reached the point of no return on just an easy mail-in ballot. So please take care of that if you want your vote to for sure be counted.
You guys vote yet?
Yes, I voted a couple weeks ago, as a matter of fact.
Did you track your vote?
Yes. So Jillian, just a couple days ago, said, hey, I just got a text that says our votes have been counted.
Yeah, just last night I had the same conversation with my wife. Oh, look, our votes.
Yeah, we were like 3 days ago she told me about it, and I thought, oh, well, that's what's supposed to happen. So,
hey,
good.
The system in action.
Yeah, there it is. Democracy, everybody. They're actually counting votes. So, look, you know, we've been talking about what are we going to do on Election Day. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk sports on Election Day. We're going to be talking about what the Niners just did. We're going to be going on with our Peter King interview, and what I really hope is that we're not stopping any coverage to talk about something horrific breaking out in America. I'm talking about a level of violence or anything like that. We just hopefully we can have this nice little calm time where I know a lot of people are looking for chaos. We don't want that. But make sure you are ready to exercise your franchise 1 week from today. And in the meantime, I want to welcome you all to your 3 o'clock hour.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.